I just thank the Lord for everything that he has been doing in my life and in your life. I thank him for what he has already done this weekend. And I pray that all of us just drink it in this weekend, because this weekend has been reserved for us to refresh. And when I started preparing for this message, the very first thing that happened was the enemy decided to attack. I came down with something, had no clue what it was for the first week, but it had the worst cough with it. Went to the doctor, found out it was asthmatic bronchitis. Well, the Lord healed me in the following week. It was everything I could do, though, for those first 2 weeks, just to get to work and get home and operate on about 4 hours sleep every night. So, but the Lord continued to speak to my heart, even though when I would pick up my Bible and then doze off to sleep, you know, and then as he does and starts to prepare us for these messages, there's a process in that preparation, just like the race that we're running. There's always a preparation for the next step. And so I'm just going to share with you real quick, because I have had three different titles for this lesson. The first one started out, Our Experience in Christ. Then the next one was, The Finish Line in View. And I love that one, because can you see it? Do you see the finish line? I'm seeing it, folks. We heard it last night. We are at the end of our race. But then, just 2-3 nights ago, I just felt like something just wasn't quite right. Everything hadn't come together yet. And he says, the title is Think on These Things. And I said, ah, praise the Lord, because that is where our focus must be, is on the things that he would have us think on. So we're going to get started. Turn to Romans 5. And I'm going to move somewhat quickly through this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we rejoice in tribulations, plural, tribulations. Also knowing that tribulation, note that that is singular. Tribulation worketh what? Patience. We heard about endurance last night. He brings it up here again. We must learn to endure, correct? Yes. And then those patience bring us to experience and experience hope. So the reason I wanted to point out the plural versus the singular tribulations and tribulation is because he's telling us we need to glory in all of our tribulations, but he's also explaining that every tribulation is going to work patience, which is going to work experience, which is going to give us our hope. So it is a continual process. It is from being changed into his image, from glory to glory. It's not all at once. All right, so flip to Philippians 3. We'll start at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, I count counted loss for Christ. This is part of our experience. We don't count it for loss on day one. This is coming from experience. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. So do we just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to count it all for loss. No, we don't. Through the tribulations that God chooses for our lives, they provide the opportunities. I described it this morning in a conversation. They are the vehicle, the opportunity for us to come to this point of spiritual growth that the Apostle Paul is talking about here. And something, this kind of little sidebar here, something that you'll probably hear me bring up, depends on what the Holy Spirit leads, but we must be led of the Holy Spirit for these things to be accomplished in our life, which means we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to beg you today, saints, if you are here today and you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, I ask you to seek the Lord in that matter before you leave this weekend. Because the only way we can have what Paul teaches us is through the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit into the deeper truths of God. So, Romans 5:5, to go on with that thought, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given unto us. The Holy Spirit is a gift. It is not, you're not filled, as some teach, the moment you are saved. They are separate spiritual events. They can happen right after one another. I've seen that happen. I had somebody one time say, well, you got to get baptized first. No, you don't. If the Spirit's leading, all you have to do is believe, submit, let Him do the leading, and then rejoice. He'll take care of all of it. All we have to do is yield. Surrender everything in our life. I had a dear sister. She did not get filled. Not yet. I keep praying for her. But she says, I did give everything. Did she? She didn't get filled. So, you know, we have to submit every little thing in our life. That includes, and the purpose of the speaking in tongues is this wicked piece of our body, is the tongue. All right, so now that I've got that out of the way, because I am off the track, the bride of Christ is not long for this world. And she's filled with Spirit. She is filled, and she is getting refreshed. And she is longing, and she is waiting. She is watching. Verse 8 of Philippians, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, our hope. Our hope. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here comes a hope and a goal, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. How many have ever experienced physically the power of God's resurrection? How many of you? Have you? My husband did. 2 years ago. I was here in February 2 years ago. In March, he was in the hospital. Doctors telling me, had you not called 911 when you did, he would have been gone in 3 hours. He had gone into septic shock. When you go into septic shock, your organs start shutting down, and the first ones to go are your kidneys. His were both shut down completely. They couldn't figure out why. Usually there's some sort of an infection going on in the body. They brought in infectious disease doctor. They brought in every kind of doctor you could think of. And I praise God for every one of them. And they got to hear about the Lord. They did. I don't know if it penetrated, but they got to hear about him. And the Lord brought his kidneys back up fully and completely in 3 days. 3 days. Day of resurrection, right? He experienced the power of resurrection physically. We can do the same, have that same experience spiritually. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, our hope. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, we're not there yet, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. We're going to see a little bit about how the enemy and this world can put us under bondage. And sometimes just from our past history, I've seen Christians beat themselves up over and over and over for things they did in the past. I got news. Christ died for that. He rose for that. And he has planted his seed of life within us. It's finished. It's past. It's been buried. Where? In the depths of the sea. Never to be thought about again. Covered with his blood. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So forgetting those things behind, that's with experience. Those things reaching forward. That's our hope. That's our goal. That's the finish line. That's Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. I press toward the mark. Experience, we're pressing on. But here comes our hope for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, oh, he's there for us. Because he's going to reveal it to us. Even this unto you. So God's desire for us is just that. That we allow him to reveal the deepest truths, the mystery of Christ in us. So, how do we move from tribulations to patience or endurance to experience and hope? Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. I recently got a text from one of my husband's nieces. Her name is Dee Dee. Please put her on your prayer list. This is so awesome. His family, they are believers. But I would say that is all they are. John and I have tried to witness to them about the deeper things, but they're just not there. Dee Dee sends me a text a couple weeks ago. I about came just flying out of my chair because I said, "Oh, praise God." And he says, "What are you reading?" I said, "Dee Dee just texted me, and she says, I don't know what's wrong. She says, I can't even put it hardly into words, but I don't believe I'm where I need to be with Christ and my life." I said, "Now we know, now we have her where she needs to be. The Holy Spirit is speaking to her." And she says, "The only way I can put it into words is I feel like I'm a grade schooler and I need to be in high school." I said, "Oh, praise God." And man, I started shooting off the scriptures, and one of them was this one right here. "Set your affections on things above." And I said, "Honey, everything you want, everything you need is found in Christ, and you are going to learn of him through his word. There is no other way. You need to start studying." This was on a Sunday. She comes back Sunday night. She'd been to church. I believe it's an Assembly of God. I'm not sure. So I have concerns. Been there myself. But I'll guarantee you this. She sticks around with them long enough, she will get spirit-filled. But I want her to move beyond that. You know, it's an awesome, spectacular thing in our spiritual life to be spirit-filled. But there comes a day we have to move past that. We have to grow. And I praise God for my mom. And I don't know if any of you ever knew her, Sister Urban, Vera Urban. I started out in a grace meeting when I was a BB. There was no children's church. There was nothing there for little ones. So mom moved us to the Assembly of God down the road. I got spirit-filled at the age of 12. Somewhere between 12 and 13, I'm at the church on a Wednesday night, and the pastor is speaking in John 15. And he is putting forth the doctrine that you can lose your salvation through these messages or these verses. And I don't remember exactly what I said to my mom, but I had got home that night, and I'm sitting on the edge of my bed, and I got my Bible in my hand, my lap, and I'm reading over those verses again. And she walked in the bedroom, and I looked up at her, and I said, "Mom, that's not true. That is not what these scriptures are talking about." Her eyes were huge. She knows the grace message. She knew the truth. And so I heard her on the phone with Sister Urban the next morning. And she's telling her what I said. And Sister Urban was going to the Assembly too of God. She says, "It's time to get her out of there. We need to start going to Weston." So I ended up under Brother Jesse Franklin. And I praise God for that. And that is what the Holy Spirit can do. You don't have to have somebody constantly speaking the word to you. We have to have those moments with him. And he's going to reveal it to us. It's one thing to know what your pastor believes, but what do you believe? So, be praying for Dee Dee. She's a precious girl. Anyway, Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, we know those scriptures. We know them by heart. Those are our go-to scriptures when we are in the heat of the trial, are they not? Yes. Amen. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So Paul, you know, we're going to look at an experience here that Paul had. And when you see that experience and then you read those verses and you think about the experience and the hope, you see where these verses were born from. It was through the trials and the tribulations that he went through. And God was able to use those to allow him to write these verses down for you and I. So, Paul would not have understood Romans 5, the truths without Romans 5. He would not have understood this unless Romans 5 had been revealed to him. And that is having the knowledge and understanding that he had access to the grace of God. He had access to the Holy of Holies. And he wouldn't have understood these things had he not gone through the trials and tribulations and endured. But the great thing about it is we don't need to focus on the circumstances. Especially as we grow deeper and deeper in Christ, we start looking for the experience. While we're going through the trial, we're going, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? What do you want me focused on? Well, he wants our eyes on him, not on the trial, because we're going to find out that can be a problem. So, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he's going to perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. So till we cross the finish line, he's going to continue that perfect work in us. So one of Paul's tribulations was right there in the city where the lovers of the horses assembly began, Philippi. So turn to Acts 16. You know, not everybody was really happy to see Paul and Silas there in Philippi, as we see here in Acts 16. It's right there around just above verse 20, or right at 20. They had cast out a demon out of a woman. And the result of that, they actually interrupted the income of her masters. And they were upset. And so we find here in verse 20, that they brought Paul and Silas to the magistrates there, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now, that safely doesn't mean keeping them from getting beat up again. That means you make sure that they don't get loose. So, what did the keeper do? He, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. The very first thing I saw when I read that was their feet fast in stocks. What does our feet represent spiritually? It represents our walk in Christ. The enemy will use this world to try to put us under bondage. We're seeing it today throughout the news, our own lives, the persecution upon the church. They will try to judge us. They will try to pronounce us guilty of what we believe, what we teach, what we stand for. But we must not allow ourselves to become focused on that. Because if we do, we're not going to hear the voice of God. We're not going to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we must not allow these circumstances to drown out the Lord's voice. God uses circumstances, again, these trials and such, to teach us. Sometimes it's just to guide our path. You know, sometimes he'll change our physical course to take us in another direction in our life. Sometimes it's just to wake us up. Are we awake, dear saints? Are we watching? Paul and Silas were watching. Are we so focused on the tribulations that it has blurred our vision, that we are no longer seeing the finish line? So, 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Paul had grown much by the time he and Silas ended up here. They were arrested, thrown into prison, and it was with each of these tribulations that he had received the revelation after revelation of God's grace, strength, and hope of his calling. And because of that spiritual growth and progress, they were both very content where they were. They did not have a pity party. They did not try to throw blame on anybody else for being wronged unnecessarily without facts. They weren't upset because they didn't have their day in court. Thinking, you hearing things of today? Yeah. They were content. And God, what did he do? Here they are sitting in this inner prison, this nasty, dark, foul-smelling prison, stocks on their feet, and here they are. And God turns that inner prison into the inner chamber. Can he do that in our lives? Can he, in the midst of the worst trial in your life, when you feel that you have been so beat up that you can't get up, that you can experience that resurrection power, and he can spiritually place you in that inner chamber, and you can have that one-on-one fellowship with him no matter what's going on around you. He can do that in our lives. So the world threw them into that inner prison and shut them up. But God was still in complete control. And he gave Paul and Silas the boldness to glorify him. And then what happens? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. I've never been in an earthquake. I've experienced it. I bet you have, though, Roger. I don't want to. They're getting a little closer to our home territory, but I'd rather not experience them. But sometimes we need some shaking up spiritually. Sometimes, you know, there's certain areas of our lives where we can be spiritually awake, but there's those other areas maybe we've told the Lord, can we deal with that later? You know, we've been working on this. Can we deal with that one later? And he goes, no, we're going to do it now. Well, what are you going to do? It's what the Lord has said is best for you, right? So, if it's an earthquake, then that's what we needed. So, we're not maybe necessarily fully spiritually awake, and we get those shakeups. But anyway, here, the foundations of the prison was shaken. So, God had his target, did he not? And he woke up that keeper. Yes, and he loosed the bands off of Paul and Silas. But the earthquake, I believe personally, yeah, it was to loose them, but they weren't going to go anywhere. They weren't running out to escape. They were going to endure. They were going to see it through because they knew God had put them on that path. The wake up was for the keeper. Guess he'd been asleep. But I also believe that even in his sleep, that praying and praising that Paul and Silas were doing by the faith of the Son of God was penetrating. It was hitting the mark. It was doing a mighty work, even if he was asleep. I've had God speaking to me in my sleep. And so it woke him up. And Paul says, it's okay. We're all here. Don't hurt yourself. And he got a light. And, you know, That moment right there when he asked for the light, he was already asking for Jesus Christ. And he says, what do I need to do to be saved? It's so simple. Just believe. Believe on Jesus. Believe what he did for you on that cross. Believe that he died, was buried, and rose again. So, I want to read Philippians 4:6 again and keep this in mind with everything Paul's been going through here, him and Silas. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I mentioned earlier about bondage. You know, anxiety is a bondage. And I don't know about you, but every really extraordinarily intense trial, you can kind of feel some anxiety maybe start to come on. And that will get your eyes so fast off of Christ. And it will put you into bondage, and you will end up submitting to it rather than to the Holy Spirit and where He is wanting to take you. And that's generally, and I'll say 100% into the deeper truths of Christ and God. So be careful. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, be by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's okay to give prayer requests. We do that. We need to do that. But we also need to pray ourselves for those needs to God. And the peace of God, I love this, passes all understanding. Only you all that are running this race for Christ can truly enter into that and understand the depths of that. And you know, when somebody says, I have the peace of God, you know what they're talking about. It is past all understanding. There is sometimes just no way to put it into words. And it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The enemy cannot enter in to your thoughts and subject you to this anxiety if we are focused on Christ. And I'm going to tell you, I've already been tested. Before this message was done, I was tested. And I got a call at work the other day. I'm not going to go into the details because God's not done. I have no idea where this is going to go. But, and I have this peace. But it was the doctor's. And they said, we need you to come in for a test. And I said, oh. I went and found a conference room so I could have this private conversation. And, you know, immediately you start thinking. You're going, oh, they're on a hunt. What are they looking for? Well, as soon as I got off the phone with making the next appointment, which is next week, the Lord says, think on these things. And I had to laugh. I said, oh, you are just such an awesome, awesome God. Because He's got it. He's in control. I don't have to focus on next week. I get to focus on what He is saying to me. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we're about to wrap this up. Think on these things. When we do, all those things there in Philippians 4:8, we become as Paul, as he described there in Colossians 4:3, where it says, to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. It wasn't the bonds there in the prison that had him. It was the bonds of Christ. It wasn't the Roman government that he felt prisoner to. He was a prisoner of Christ. And why is that in Paul's heart? And he says, well, there in Colossians 3, he says, he instructs us how to put off the old man and put on the new man. And he says, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Having the love of Christ in our hearts, that is divine love, makes us more than conquerors. Divine love is what changes us. It is our endurance to the next glory, to the next lesson, to the next hope. It is what gets us from tribulations to patience, to experience, to hope. You know, the midnight experience is a time of one-on-one with the Lord. And the best example I can think of is Ruth. When she was in that midnight moment and she's at the feet of Boaz, who is a type of Christ, she was quiet. She was hearing the voice of God. Do we take the time to be quiet? I know there's times when I look forward to just being in the house alone and not a thing on and just total quiet, because then what? He gets to speak to me. He can speak to me, and there is no interruption from the world. Those moments are so important. Now, this experience with Paul and Silas, they still had their one-on-one moment. They were praising the Lord and praying, but there were others listening. Others listen and watch to what our reaction is to those trials, those circumstances in our life. How are we going to present Christ to us, to them, in those moments? So, those doors, they open. And Christ has opened doors for us. And we saw one last night. And we're going to see it again. And I'm going to actually have you turn there to Revelations 3:8. We're just about done. I know thy works. Behold, and he's talking to the Philadelphian saints here, that bridal company. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Do we know what's in the open door? It is all. And let me repeat, all the blessings of Christ Jesus that he has offered us. If we desire to know the truth, if we desire to cross that finish line, to hear that first trumpet sound, he will move mountains to make sure that happens in our life. You know, this whole world, they may try to persecute us for absolutely nothing. They did Paul. If the finish line is in view, if we're almost there, that means the tribulation is about to start, right? That means the closer we get to that, we start feeling that heat. It is building already. And I praise God. I have the hope that I'm not going to have to even see any of that. Because he promises that they're right here, that we can escape that hour of temptation, the hour of the tribulation. But as we get closer, and I know at least most of us in this room probably know this, as we grow in Christ, as we're growing closer to that finish line, those tribulations are getting hotter. They're getting tougher. And it's all the more reason that we need to understand these things, and we need to continually be praising God and singing praises unto him, glorifying him in order to keep our eyes on Christ. So, I'm going to read it one more time, because it's important here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I love you all. Continue to run the race. Continue to think on these things that the Apostle Paul has taught us, wrote down for us, that the Holy Spirit is actually teaching us and guiding us through. And the victory is won. The victory is ours because Christ has handed it to us. We just need to walk it. Walk in Christ. And we will see one another at that finish line. Amen.